one.
Hi, another episode of the MCAST. This is Hans.
And I'm Hector. And that was it took three takes for us to get the,
yeah,
get
well,
the intro.
Yeah, well, if you
over.
Weren't messing with around with that bracelet of yours,
I'm
man.
Excited, man. I'm excited know. This week. We're this week is actually going to be a super, like, packed. I can't even describe how awesome this week's
MCAST
is.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah, and we had a couple weeks off, and the people are clamoring.
I wouldn't call it off. Yeah. I mean, we were pretty busy, to be honest.
But we have two special guests this week. Yep. You know, our last podcast with John Greenberg actually was the most downloaded one, I guess, that we've had so far.
Yeah.
So on piggybacking on top of that, we're going to start bringing in more guests. And this week we actually have two guests. And our first guest is senior game designer John Edwards. John, say hello to everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, John. John is another one of our Mortal Kombat MVPs. This is actually what game is this that you've worked on? Already, what number game is this?
You worked for Mortal Kombat? Yeah. Shell and Monks, Armageddon, and now MKVS DC.
Third one, awesome. John is actually, don't let his quiet demeanor fool you on this podcast. He's actually a really, really, really excitable kind of person.
Yeah. He's pretty vocal. He gets
pretty animated, but basically what we wanted to do is kind of bring him in to add a little bit of flavor to us, because obviously Hans and I aren't exciting enough for you guys. There's enough complaints about us out there.
Or
right
the
now.
Fact that we don't answer enough questions, so John's going to be here to answer some of those questions.
Or we don't know what we're talking about.
Well, that's true.
Or
we don't know what we're talking
some
about.
Of those kind of things. But before we get into grilling John about special moves and all kinds of stuff like that, let's talk about what we've been up to for the past couple of weeks. I know Hans, last time we left on the podcast, you were actually leaving, going on a plane to Siberia, or where were we?
Moscow.
Yeah, Hans actually had to go to Moscow for a press event. He was gone a whole, 72 hours
that
or something.
That was the most insane trip. And I spent probably more time in airplanes and airports than I was actually on the ground.
Yeah, what were you doing out there?
It was a kind of a Gamers Day event over in Moscow. So, you know, showing off the game, meeting with the media, the press, and salespeople.
Having a bunch of fun while I'm locked in.
I wish I could
locked
say that
in my drywall case. Prison trying to make the game.
And this is the wit we were talking about for John.
Exactly. Any cool stories? What was the Russian press reception of Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe?
They're really jazzed about it. They're really excited. A lot of feedback has been positive. You know, it was amazing. It was cool. You know, especially meeting the Russian hardcore MK fans was quite unique as well.
Awesome. We actually, Hans got back on Saturday. He actually, the trooper that he is, came into the office, jet lagged and all,
I wasn't hungover. I didn't even get a chance to drink, okay? I mean, it was just constantly go, go, go. You know?
Yeah, but Hans showed up in the office, and we actually had to force him to go home because we were working really, really hard to get the build ready for Leipzig. And then Ed and I actually left Monday on a plane out to Germany with our build that was super packed with all kinds of new content.
Yeah,
we had crazy stuff in there.
It was worth it.
Was worth it. I mean, Leipzig, the reception that Mortal Kombat got at Leipzig absolutely blew my mind. Like, I took videos of it and I was showing the guys on the team. There was a line halfway down the convention hall of people in line to play our game. It was amazing.
Speaking of video, I liked your little video on
Yeah, I was Game Trailers was the first kind of video interview that I was able to do, and I was a little bit nervous on that, but I really wanted to show off some of the moves that we kind of get in, and I referred to one of the moves as the greatest special move in the history of fighting games on there as an homage to John here. As a matter of fact, I remember he texted me it must have been 1 a.m. one night that was like, dude, the greatest move of ever of all time, and I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. But actually, when I saw it was awesome. So, John, what was
I'm not sure that holds up to the scrutiny.
Yeah, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, it's the crazy 4-in-1 move where Joker goes into the green teleport animation, and then he comes out of it with a couple high attacks and a couple low attacks.
And then the other three moves, you know, has the low sliding kick that hits low, so
that I called
you can't
the
high block it.
Yeah, I called that the rolling punch, I believe that's how I refer to that.
Before you punch with both of your feet. And then he has a modified version of it. It's a top down, so it's an overhead, so you can't low block that one, but you can high block it. And then he has this really cool bomb move where he comes out and kind of blows himself up and can also pop up the opponent. you know, wacky, keep the opponent guessing,
nice,
kind of series of moves.
One of the questions that we got, or one of the complaints that I actually read about was we gravitated too much towards the Joker, and we didn't talk about Kitana's special moveset. So I know you worked on Kitana's special moves as well. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of walk through what she has, because nobody kind of knows like what her moveset was, because basically she was just there as fodder for the Joker.
Yeah, like, I can sort of see how, you know, with Dark Knight, all that kind of stuff coming out, that the Joker probably would, you know, take a lot of the press. But
I didn't have a Kitana shirt on. If I had a Kitana shirt on, I would have played Kitana.
I'm not sure there are any, but let me find one. I'll get you one.
All right.
Yeah, well, Kitana, she was my favorite character in MK2.
Kitana.
So that's how I got started in the whole game industry stuff, you know, just playing, you know, MK2 at tournaments, Street Fighter tournaments, things like that.
Nice.
So Kitana was my favorite one. So
right.
So a lot of the old combos, like the thing, you know, like you can jump kick to the
bring
air
back
fan.
The classics.
Yeah, to like the, you know, the square wave punch thing, like all those things you can actually do again in MK versus DC for the first time. And she's actually really fun to play. Like the she has a lot of stuff with the fans, the, you know, the old fan lift. We also gave her Melina's role, kind of, you know, just bring in some more, you know, pop-up type moves for her so you can set up some big combos. But I think fans will be happy because she plays pretty similar to, like, the MK2 Kitana, which was, one of my favorite fighting game characters of all time.
Nice.
So it's pretty safe to say that, you know, all these characters in general will have their own special sets of moves. It's not like we're recycling moves or anything for anybody.
Oh, no, and I've you know, I mean, we read the forums, too, like the design team. like you know, I'm on the forums all the time, you know, when, like, the game's building. Mm-hmm. So instead of just sitting in my office staring at the wall, I'll hop on the forums and, you know, read through and see what people are thinking. What the new topic is of the week to, you know, kind of yell at us about.
The MK team is lazy.
Yeah, we're lazy. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm working on like day 64 in a row here without a day off. Jeff, what was the question? Oh, yeah.
Special moves. Yeah.
Sorry about
unique
that.
Moves.
Yeah. So we had noticed that, you know, like some of the videos online, when we went to E3, like some characters had, you know, some of the same attacks.
Yeah,
and
Scorpion
stances,
and
things like
Scorpion
that.
Scorpion and Batman had the leg grab.
Probably Scorpion and Batman is the obvious example. And they're not going to both have it. It's just something where we, you know, we haven't decided yet which one is going to have it. But in lieu of just, you know, taking it out, we wanted to make sure that people could play both of those characters. And then hopefully through everybody doing that and kind of shaking it out, we'll be able to figure out, you know, which one we want to give it to.
So every character is going to have their own unique fighting style, their own combo system, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, everybody has their own fighting style, their own stance, their own super moves.
Cool.
Like we're trying not to share, you know, anything.
Right.
Even though I know a lot of people have mentioned, like, you know, oh, a lot of people have teleports, you know, blah, 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 things like that.
Yeah, that's one of the questions.
I noticed that.
Why are you jumping ahead of our question? But no, go talk. Please talk about it.
Talk about the teleports.
Tell us.
Well, a lot of people have teleports. A lot of them, you know, act different.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like Sub-Zero's, like his ice puddle thing. You know, it actually works more as an evade type of a move. Some of the teleports are more to set up attacks. You can use some of them in combos. Some have special attacks that you can do out of them, like Kitana has a teleport. Her teleport also you can do in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really an escape move because you knock her out of it fairly easily. She's not invulnerable or anything like that. It's more of like a way to set up combo opportunities. So, you know, you hit the guy, you knock him away, then you can, like, jump kick him and then teleport and end up behind him as they're coming down.
Jeez.
And then she has, like, a couple of different attacks that she can pull out only from that only from the teleport. So in her case, it's less of an escape move, more of, like, a combo kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not all-powerful moves or anything. I mean, they all have their...
No. They all have different, you know, vulnerabilities and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Shang Tsung's is more of, like, a straight kind of escape thing. You know, he goes into the ground and comes up. So it kind of, you know, acts as a, you know, a high block kind of a thing, except instead of putting you in block stun and having to wait around to do something, you know, you come up behind the guy and now you, you know, get some free hits.
You know, I'm learning some new moves here, right? You know.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Sorry, I'm going to go back and try this afterwards.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them do change constantly, too. It's like, you know, you guys will get a build and start playing them, and then, you know, Ed or myself or Paulo or Brian or someone has come in and said, hey, you know what, maybe we should, you know, modify this a little bit.
Yeah, and
all of a sudden
then,
it's like,
you know,
you guys are at some demo somewhere trying to do it. It's
so
like,
I'm going to show you
the
this
same motion.
I swear it's in this game. I just did the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so some of that's kind of our fault.
How about, I know we pulled you away, and I know that you'd rather be in your office right now working on Fatality. So kind of walk through kind of the steps that it takes to kind of put a Fatality in the game. I'm sure that that's something that the fans are really going to be into.
Fatality.
Yeah, well, obviously, to make a game like this, it takes you know, a lot of people working in a lot of different departments, a lot of different skills to get everything to work out. Basically, like the Fatality I'm working on now, it's a new one, so I can't release what it is. But usually, you know,
How about we just talk about the Joker Fatality?
Okay, the Joker Fatality.
Okay, so the one that's been shown. Forget it. All right, yeah.
The one that, enough, Hector. Enough.
All right. Sorry. All right, go ahead.
Well, in any case, usually it'll you know, either Ed or myself, someone on the design team will come up with an idea. You know, like, hey, you know, how about this for a Fatality or a special move or pretty much anything that goes into the game. And then, of course, Ed has, you know, the ultimate, being the designer, he has the ultimate, you know, say on it. Mm-hmm. He's really cool about, you know, taking other people's ideas. And we don't limit it to the design team either. So, obviously, you know, the programmers, anybody can kind of throw in the...
Producers.
they can all kind of throw their, you know, their ideas into the mix, you know, and they all kind of get, you know, sloshed around. The cool ones kind of, you know, come out the bottom, and then we pick those. And then, you know, Ed goes, oh, you know what? Yeah, out of these, we can only do five of them. So let's, you know, do these five. So from that process, after that, usually he'll draw up like little stick figure drawings, which he's actually getting pretty proficient at. So draw little stick figure drawings of like, you know, here's kind of the main overview of the of the Supermover, the fatality. And then we pass it off to Carlos and the animators. You know, they look over it and, you know, they kind of go, oh, are there any weird things that, you know, we might need some new props or, you know, super hard things, or we need to bring in like outside talent or anything like that to make these things work. Then after all that stuff gets kind of shaken loose, we head over to the mocap studio across the street, and Carlos and Tony or whoever it is there will suit up, and you know, we'll mocap. Usually we don't go with it a mocap one thing. We'll go with it a mocap, you know, 40, 50, 60 animations at a time, you know, once or twice a week mostly. So get those animations, and they come back to the animation department where they have to, you know, clean up all the mocap data. You know, a lot of times I have to hand animate a lot of stuff because, you know, you just can't physically do some of the things, you know, without like crazy, like Hollywood rigging and stuff like that, where you flying through the air and attach the ropes and stuff. Obviously, it's kind of outside the
scope.
Carlos cannot fly. He can flip kick around and, you know, roll and all kind of weird stuff like that. But there are
flying's
a few times
just one of those things he just can't do.
But yeah, once the things come back, they get all kind of cleaned up. You know, they'll be checked into our you know, our place where we like our code depot, I guess. And then one of the designers, whoever's assigned to getting that thing into the game, will pull it over and start basically mocking it up. You know, kind of stubbing in the animations themselves, not worrying about effects or stuff. Just kind of get the timing down, and, you know, get Ed and other designers and you know, the guys in there, the animators, and say, you know, hey, how's this? You know, this is kind of the feel of what.
So there's a lot of iterations. There's a lot of people involved in kind of quality QCing it like the entire
way. And even then, there's like layers of what, when you guys even actually get involved, there's layers of it. It's like you said, multiple passes where, you know, first it's layout, then it's the timing, and then
Definitely. And being a game designer, in my mind, like, nothing's ever done. So, you know, like, there's always something to be cleaned up, or, you know, some other cool idea that someone might come in with and go, hey, you know, it'd be really cool if you could do this out of this. And you're like, oh, my God, that is cool, but I have, you know, a day to, you know, where the game has to ship. So it's like a constant fight to make sure that, you know, all, you know, we can get all the cool stuff in, but still also make everything as clean as possible.
What's one of the coolest things that you've been able to do in this next generation that you haven't been able to do before, that you were always like, man, if I was able to do this, I would do it, and now you're actually able to kind of do it and put it in the game?
Well, being a gameplay guy, you know, next-gen stuff hasn't really, for the most part, changed too much. I mean, obviously, next-gen stuff is more, you know, graphics, more, you know, memory space for animations, things like that. So I wouldn't say there's particularly anything gameplay related that I've just been like, oh my God, I'm so glad. You know, I mean, you know, physics, things like that. You know, it's like, you know, we have, you know, physics in the game, gameplay related, you know, with some of our throws, things like that. That's pretty cool. The main thing, I guess, is just all the extra storage space, you know, for animations and stuff like that. Because it's, and I'm sure, like, I wasn't working on the games back when, you know, the arcade days, but I'm sure, like, you know, Ed and those guys probably were just, you know, constantly fighting, like, you know, I want all this stuff in, but I've got, you know, 3K or whatever to work with.
For the whole game.
Yeah, for the entire game. So I'm sure I'm kind of spoiled nowadays.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, you see, you know, you're talking about all this space, and, you know, even then, with this, you know, all this stuff, we're still like, we're going to run out of disk space.
Oh, I've run out multiple times already just on, like, animation space, because, like, you know, some of these fatalities get they're getting pretty elaborate now. Yeah. And, of course, all that, you know, just eats up.
So can you tell us everybody's fatality?
Yes.
John, stop.
All right, you know what? That's too bad. I know you wanted to tell us, but I think I hear somebody calling for you, and I think they need you over there. So we're gonna have to end the time that we have with you this week.
Right, but we want to talk about rage mode.
Oh, we should. Oh my God! You know what?
Make time.
Sorry. You know what? I'm sorry. I was totally trying to get him out of here right there, because in talking about rage mode, what am I gonna have to do? I'm gonna have to admit that I dropped the ball a little bit
a little bit. I didn't think it was that bad, but obviously everybody online just started freaking out.
I know,
so
I'm gonna stand up right here and take the blame for that. You know, after the first day of Leipzig, after, you know, 36 hours of travel and all that stuff, we kind of had an interview with I believe it was one of the websites. I don't want to call out which one it was, and they basically asked me to kind of explain rage mode, and, you know, I obviously hadn't slept for a couple days. I didn't know, and I I kind of made a couple comments that kind of made Rage Mode seem maybe a little more overpowered than it was.
The Rage!
So one of the big things that we wanted to do this week on the MCAST was bring in somebody that can actually explain exactly how Rage Mode works.
To set the record straight.
To set the record straight on Rage, here is John Edwards. Yeah, explain Rage Mode to the people.
And having said that, it's not set in stone yet. Still a work in progress, but I believe Hector had mentioned that it was like, you know, 6 seconds of complete invulnerability and all your attacks are unblockable and the damage is all crazy ramped up. Yeah, I was like, oh my god, that does sound overpowered.
Why do I feel like somebody's like, hey, Hector, look, isn't that a bus over there? And John's like ready to toss
me. Yeah, he's throwing
me
under the bus right
now. It was pretty scary hearing, you know, what everybody said online. They were just like,
yeah, after they were like, that's like, a stupid. I read one kid's comment.
It's the old aggressor mode and it's
he was like, you know, this game was going to be good until they brought that in and now it's ruined.
I was totally going to buy the game and now I'm not. And they're like, oh man, Hector, what happened?
I mean,
tired and it's not like we gave you like, you know,
there's
exactly
a lot of confusion going on
in
the shows to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you almost got it right. currently in game, it's 6 seconds, but we may shorten it or lengthen it based on, you know, gameplay testing. We wanted some sort of a, you know, thing that tied in kind of the story mode. That wasn't like, you know, just some little, you know, lame knockoff or like, you know, a complete extra like gameplay type mode that would occur, and it all kind of ties everything together. It's you build up these meters basically based on a lot of different factors. You know, the guy that's blocking gets some built up, you know, to some degree. Mm-hmm. The guy attacking does to some degree. And all those things are tweakable. Like, we haven't decided yet. You know, like, is it going to be like a defensive mode where the guy blocking, you know, accrues a bunch of it? Or is it more of like an offensive thing where the guy attacking gets a bunch? Mm-hmm. Right now we have knobs in there for all those scenarios. Mm-hmm. Obviously in one case you go, somebody's turtling, so... you know, the guy blocking is going to give the attacker, you know, a whole lot, so that then now he can blow through the guy's guard, you know, when he activates rage mode.
Did you say turtling?
Yes, turtling.
Okay,
it's an old school term.
I know it's an old school term, but there might be some new school kids
playing very defensively. Yeah. Basically, it's like crouching,
hiding in the corner, crouching. Like
yeah,
a turtle.
Crouching, blocking, running away, basically trying to avoid.
But that's like
fighting.
Half of my style. That's how I play.
And this is exactly why we put rage mode in.
And meanwhile, people tell me it's like, Hans, do you realize there's a block button on the
what? Yeah,
oh my gosh!
Yeah, Hans does. Doesn't block actually.
When did Mortal Kombat add a block button? So that's MK1. It's been there forever. So you build up these meters. Right now it's like broken into two sections. Well, I guess three technically, but there's two meters that you fill up, and each one gives you a combo breaker. Mm-hmm. So like in our last game, you know, combo breakers in Armageddon, it was like set to like three. You get three combo breakers, and this one you have to build up a meter. And when you build up a meter to a certain amount, we give you a combo breaker. If you build it up, you know, one more graduation, then you get another combo breaker, but that also fills up the bar completely, and then you can activate the rage mode.
Nice.
So you can either do rage mode, or you'll have, you know, a couple combo breakers stored that you can do. Currently, rage mode acts like another gamey term, like super armor.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, a guy hitting you will still do damage to you, but it takes more than one hit to break through and, like, put you into a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gives you, like, a chance to blow through their attacks if you're in close, you know, get a few free hits in. We haven't decided if we're going to ramp up the damage or not, but it's possible. And something else we're throwing around is possibly a guard crush so that, you know, the guy seriously just cannot turtle, like, you know.
Right.
And, of course, all of these things we're going to have to kind of balance around. Like, we don't want it to turn into, oh, he's in rage mode, I'm just going to run away. Mm-hmm. And it's going to turn into, like, a, you know, sidestepping, you know, away from the guy and be completely useless. So there's a lot of things we got to kind of balance out, but... your attacks aren't unblockable.
Was my fault. I'm
sorry. You're not completely invulnerable. It's not necessarily going to be 6 seconds.
another mistake.
Yeah, right now there is a way to knock someone out of rage mode. You still take damage from it, from their normal attacks, and your attacks right now don't do any extra damage, but, you know, it may. The main thing about those is, you know, it ties into the story really nice.
Exactly.
It gives the player something else to kind of, you know, go, oh, I'm almost dead. You know, it's my
chance.
One last shot. Yeah, yeah. Bam, I'm going to rage mode. Right. Hopefully I can, like, land a combo and, like, kind of even it up.
Yeah, and that's something that I think the people don't understand is that rage mode does tie very, very strongly into our story mode, and as more details of story mode kind of get out there, it'll make sense a little bit more. We're not at the point right now where we're ready to talk about that just yet.
Don't worry, everybody. Rage mode is not game-breaking.
No.
Like,
We're
not sitting in our offices all like, hey, let's just give some super power and just not care, you know, what happens to gameplay. Like, we do actually... you know, test this stuff and, you know, think and about it, go through a bunch of iterations, then try to balance it.
I know there's a lot of questions, you know, just in general, you know, people asking about rage mode. And I, even, like, one of the questions I think was, like, you know, as the rage mode fills up, it's like, is it only just for that round? Is it just for that match? Does it carry over? You know, stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, we haven't decided yet. We'll probably, like, you know, probably carry over maybe from, like, round to round, but certainly not match to match. We're not even sure on that. Like, I can see arguments from both sides. There's some, I don't see dissension in the design group, but, you know, differing of opinions, basically, like, you know, whether
that's
or not
good.
It should be
that's
this
healthy.
Powerful, not this
powerful. Exactly. Yeah, definitely. You don't want just one person making every decision. That's not the right way to do things.
Yeah, and you don't want everybody also to be, like, you know, be a yes man and just be like, you know, yeah, I agree with everything that you say.
Yeah,
blah,
I totally
blah,
agree.
Blah.
Totally
you
agree. Yes.
See,
yes.
There you go. Just like that.
But.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming by and explaining where I messed up and for all the people. and we'll have you on another one soon. We actually have another guest that we're going to bring in now pretty soon. Yeah. We actually have another John. We're like, all we're doing is just bringing in.
This
like
is the podcast of John.
Yeah, exactly. Last week we had John Greenberg. Now we have John Edwards. And coming up next right now, we actually have a surprise guest, which is John Tobias, the one of the original creators of Mortal Kombat. So we're going to bring him in and ask him a couple questions too.
Great. Awesome, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for coming by, John.
All right, guys. We're here straight from the south side of Chicago. Whitney Young's favorite alumnus after myself and Russell Maryland, Michelle Obama, and the Wachowski brothers. We're here with one of the original creators of Mortal Kombat, John Tobias, and we're super excited to have him in. John, say what's up to everybody, man.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Dude, everybody was, like, going crazy. We kind of announced that you were going to be involved with the project a couple weeks ago at Comic-Con, and right after that, all of our boards kind of blew up with people with, like, a million and one questions. Everybody wanted to know, you know, where you were, what you were going to, what your involvement was going to be, what you've been up to. Like, we had a million and one questions about it, but we'll get to that right now. I think the number one question everybody obviously wants to know is, what's up with the comic book? Kind of tell us and walk us through, like, what you're doing, how the idea came up, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, what was, you know, what's your role in it, and, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Well, I'm illustrating the interior of the book. I'm drawing the pictures. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also doing a piece for the cover.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, and the covers that I'm doing is a full-color piece, and the interior, I'm doing the penciling.
Oh, yeah. How excited are you to kind of come back to a medium that you've, you know, kind of started out in, and now you've come full circle and are kind of doing that again?
Well, actually, before I got into video games, one of my goals was to be a comic book illustrator or animator. Mm-hmm. I actually illustrated a comic book while I was in school for a couple of years, that was a lot of fun. It was a Ghostbusters.
The real Ghostbusters.
That's right. It was an adaptation.
that legal thing.
Right. Yeah. It was an adaptation of the cartoon that was out at the time. But stuff was horrible. But anyway, but then I got into games, and when we did the first Mortal Kombat game, you know, we had this backstory that we wanted to tell, and in the arcade products at the time, you could do very little of that in the actual game itself. You just were sort of restricted to what you could tell during the attract mode, which you didn't get to see too often because the game was getting played so much.
Exactly.
And then also we were restricted to what you could tell at the end of the game. And so so we put together a comic book that we sold through the game, and, you know, the players could write down an address and send in $3. And Ed and I would actually sit in his office, and some of the other guys, we'd order pizza, and we'd all together sit down and label and package the comic books and mail them out. It was a lot of fun.
That's cool, huh?
But it's a lot of fun coming back and doing that again. I think that the initial comic book told the Mortal Kombat story that the whole series has kind of grown from. And, you know, it's funny, if you read that first comic book, as primitive as it is, and you look at things like the film and all the other things that have kind of come from it, it actually did a lot for us in terms of setting the stage for the stories that came afterwards. But it's a lot of fun coming back to it, and you know, it's funny, I'm actually right now working on the cover piece, and I think subliminally this cover looks a lot like the cover I did for that first comic book way back in 1992, and I didn't plan it that way, but when I look at the two together, there's some similarities, like the positioning of the characters and stuff are
bringing back the memories, huh?
Pretty similar. Yeah, exactly.
how difficult has it been, or how easy has it been to incorporate kind of the DC characters into kind of like your flow and your art style and stuff? I know you're used to, you know, drawing the Mortal Kombat characters. Now you have the opportunity to draw like Superman. Like, how has that affected you?
Well, you know, I actually haven't touched a Mortal Kombat character in, I don't know, 7-8 years. I mean, I haven't drawn one.
Not even a doodle?
Well, you know, for like, for, you know, my nieces and nephews sometimes. I'll draw a little something. But actually, professionally, I haven't done much drawing either. And so it's only been in the last couple of years that I've started drawing again. Mm-hmm. I think when I left Midway, you know, back in 2000, my role has been more managerial. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the and writing documentation and doing right. stuff mm-hmm. like that. And so, a couple of years ago, I actually picked up a pencil and started drawing again and mm-hmm. started getting back into the flow of things. And you know, I just draw the way I draw. I don't necessarily try to emulate anyone's style. I think if I look at who maybe has influenced me over the years, I think back to like the, you know, late 70s and 80s, back when I was a kid reading comic books, and there was one artist in particular, his name was Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
Nice.
And
Very traditional.
Yeah. But he drew a lot of stuff for DC way back when. And, you know, he drew a comic book. It was Hulk versus Batman.
Right.
And that comic book was awesome. I have memories of it. I'm not sure, you know, if I looked at it today, I'm not sure what my opinion of it would be. But I remember back then it had played a big influence on me. And sort of his drawing style, I think, when I was a kid, sort of rubbed off on me a little bit.
Influenced your style.
Exactly. So I'm not sure that my stuff necessarily looks like his now. Mm-hmm. It probably doesn't, but he influenced me a lot.
Well, that's good.
How do you feel about the whole DC and Mortal Kombat crossover? I mean, obviously, you know, Hulk and Batman, seeing them is, you know, carries with it some sort of novelty. Like, how does it affect you when you see, like, Scorpion and Batman on the screen or when you first heard of the story?
Well, you know, actually, when I first heard of the idea, I think I reacted the way everybody reacts when they first hear it. Your face kind of, you know, it's like almost like you bit into a hot pepper. But I think that was my initial reaction. And then after I thought about it for a while, referring to it as a novelty is almost a disservice to it. I think it's cool. I mean, I think back when I was a kid to these weird matchups. Hulk versus Batman is weird.
Yeah.
You know, Superman versus Muhammad Ali, that was another.
Yeah,
wait,
totally.
You thought that
book.
Was weird? Come on. That sounds totally
it's,
normal
well,
to
these
me.
Odd pairings, come across as strange, but I think this one isn't really odd. I think if you strip it all down and you look at the core of the characters, there are some similarities, and there. I think that in the game, they made it work, mm-hmm. and I think that you know, there's inherent awkwardness in the types of properties that mm-hmm, they right. are. I think that, you know, the whole superhero genre and Mortal Kombat being more martial arts and mysticism, it's kind of an odd pairing. Mm-hmm. You can think of characters that work, like, you know, Batman mm-hmm. works, I think, in that realm. Green Lantern and Liu Kang, I don't know. You know, it's a tough sell.
Yeah.
But I think reading the story of the game, I think it works really well. And I think the comic wound up working well.
Well, with that being said, is there any, like, maybe a character in this new series that you think is like, your favorite at this point? Mm. On the MK side? On the DC side?
Well, are you referring to like the redesigns of the characters, or just characters in general?
Just characters in general, I guess. Like, I'm sure one of the big questions that we got across the forums was like, you know, who's your favorite MK character, and who's your favorite
like
DC character?
Of all time.
So, who
I think visually, Goro would be my favorite.
Goro.
Totally.
I think that stylistically, he was the most unique. Mm-hmm. When you look at the original group of characters, he sort of stood out from the other guys. Mm-hmm. It was tough for us to do at the time. I remember everybody was kind of the same height, and there were technical reasons for why we were limited. Right. But I think the direction we went with him fit well. And
what was your main influence for Goro? Like, how did you guys even come up with that idea? Because I remember being 12 years old and at the arcade, and when you got to him, you were just like, "How am I going to beat this dude?
Yeah, this
where did he come
huge.
From?"
He's
I
mean,
you know, everything else was kind of normal, and then you get up to him, and it's just like, "Where did this come from?"
Right. I think our goal with him was to make him sort of this big, you know, wall that was coming at you. We wanted him to feel. Exactly. Yeah, and I think actually we were successful in that. But we wanted him to look different, and the forearms mm-hmm. I think played a part in that. But I think that some of the old Ray Harryhausen movies mm-hmm. played a part in what influenced me with that character.
Yeah, Jason and the Argonauts.
Exactly. Yeah, and coincidentally, you know, he was a little stop motion figure that we animated frame by frame. But that was I think sort of the core of what his influence was. I think. you know, in terms of other favorite characters on the Mortal Kombat side, Liu Kang, I think thematically for me, was has always been my favorite.
Liu Kang.
I think that creating that character, he was all about sort of the classic hero. And if you look at the Mortal Kombat universe, especially those first few games, he was always the central figure. And I remember his particular story. You know, if you look at his story, he takes sort of that classic hero's journey. Mm-hmm. And the other Mortal Kombat characters, the core Mortal Kombat characters, sort of filled in the classic roles mm-hmm. that surround the hero. And Liu Kang was always that hero. And so I think thematically, he was always, for me, the central figure of the entire series.
Take us through the creative process for kind of bringing Kung Lao into it from MK1 to MK2. I mean, obviously, you know, the whole backstory with that, but is that something that you wanted to do because of the success of Liu Kang in the first one, to kind of introduce a counterpart to him or a partner to him? Or
In a way, I think, you know, when we told the first story, Kung Lao is the original, mm-hmm. you know, winner of the Mortal Kombat tournament, mm-hmm. and Liu Kang had to sort of fill his shoes, and I always pictured the Kung Lao, the, you know, the guy with the hat, as being sort of this, or his story being sort of this character who failed to live up to what the expectations were for him. So he, you know, the idea behind him was that, you know, his ancestor was the original mm-hmm. victor right. In the tournament, and he was never able to follow in that guy's footsteps, and instead Liu Kang was. Mm-hmm. And my original intention was to build sort of almost a rivalry between the two, mm-hmm. a friendly one.
Right.
But, you know, I always saw Kung Lao being the cooler guy of the two, you know. he was supposed to be, you know, I think back
he's
to
almost
like
the preppy privileged kid, while, you know, Liu Kang was more like the kid who had to fight his way up,
you know, kind of. But also you know, a good analogy is Speed Racer's like the hero, Racer mm-hmm. X is the cool guy that you really wanted to be,
right? Exactly.
That's kind of what Kung Lao was supposed to sort of turn into, yeah, right. And I don't know that we
succeeded
in that, but that's when I remember first coming up with him, that's sort of the role that he was supposed to fill. And it becomes, working on the games even way back then, as you add characters, it sort of becomes tougher and tougher, mm-hmm. you know, because, like I said, you know, the story was easy when there was a smaller roster. It was mm-hmm. easy to form things around a central character. Becomes tougher once you got 20, 30, 40 guys.
Yeah. 64.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of almost forget about it at yeah. that point. It's just, you know, who looks cool and what do they do? That's right. All that matters.
Speaking of all those characters, like, you know, obviously over the years they added more and more. Who of kind of the newer characters that you weren't really involved with the creation did kind of stand out to you that you were like, oh man, like they really nailed it with that guy?
Right.
Or girl?
You know, I don't know if there's anyone in particular that that I like more than another. I thought Bo Rai Cho was funny.
Boracho.
Yeah,
it's like a big drunk guy. So I thought that was. I saw the humor there, and that.
I know it's so. That's lost on so many people.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with the name, but it was probably.
That's an awesome name.
It was probably Ed and Carlos. And Carlos Pacino. I could see those two guys sitting in a room coming up with that. So I don't know that they were, but
they're like, we need a name for a drunk guy.
Exactly.
Boracho. No, but make no. it.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be
Bo Rai Cho. Got to put a good twist
to
it. Yeah.
Right, got it.
I thought that was clever.
Cool, man. How big is the comic book? Like, how many pages is it? That's a question that we've been getting.
You know, it's more of a mini comic. It's 12 pages, but I think it does a good job of sort of telling the story before the story. Okay. After reading it, it's a good segue into the game itself, mm-hmm. cool. and it was a lot of fun doing, obviously.
Awesome.
Cool.
I guess we're going to look on. We have this thing that we usually do on the boards where we let people kind of come in and ask us questions. So we'll pull a couple of them for you right now, and hopefully you can answer. Everybody gets excited. Yeah. They picked my question. And it's really cool to kind of get back into the fans. And your thread actually was actually really, really popular. And people were just
tons of questions.
People want to know about Tao Feng. Like, people want to know about what you're doing next.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
that kind of stuff. So we'll pull a couple of them.
But this is more of an MK question for you, though. This is the question regarding Kitana. Mm-hmm. You know, was your intention for her good or evil when you first made her?
You know, actually, my intention was that I wanted her to start off as evil. I wanted, you know, And obviously, we had the whole palette swap thing going on back then, and there were technical reasons for why we had those restrictions. But no, I think the idea for her was that she was a bad girl who really, you know, was good, mm-hmm. and you know, she was always sort of the double crosser of the bad guys. Mm-hmm. So she is exactly who, you know, who she was in the movie, mm-hmm. Who she sort of evolved as in the game. But the idea was that she was this mysterious villainous who really has good intentions. Awesome. Kind of like, you know, in the DC universe, a good analogy would be like Catwoman. She's bad, but, mm-hmm. you know, maybe, she, you know, she's in her good. Heart she wants to be good, but, you
she
know.
Just doesn't know any better.
Yeah. I mean, Katana, not so much that. But what I mean is that she's, you know, Katana has evolved. I think now she's just a straight-up good guy, yeah. So, but that's what she started out as.
Cool.
So, well, I mean, you know, this is kind of touching back earlier, and as you said, you know, you kind of recently, you know, started picking up the pencil, started doing art again. I mean, is that your main focus now? Is just focusing on art?
Well, professionally, I still I do consulting in the game industry. I write documentation and stuff that's really boring. But you know, after I left Midway, I think that my role became more of a managerial role, mm-hmm. and I think for me, the creative side of it is what sort of that's what impassioned me to work so hard, and I kind of wanted to get back into that. So, you know, I still, you know, in terms of games, I still work in it again in some fashion. But creatively, yeah, I started drawing again a couple years mm-hmm. ago. I picked up a pencil and started drawing every day,
mm-hmm.
and
cool.
that yeah, for me that was a lot of fun. And I actually, when Ed called and asked if I was interested in working on the comic book, I coincidentally was working on a graphic novel.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That I'm still working on. That should be out at some point in 2009.
Nice little mm-hmm. nugget cool. of information for all our fans.
Yeah,
more John Tobias.
That's
stuff
right. Yeah. Well, I'm working hard on that, and that's I'm 2 issues into it. It's 5 issues, and then there's going to be like a collected thing. And at some point, I'll
make an official announcement.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. But my goal is to kind of work on it, finish it, uh-huh. get it to a place where I'm really happy with it, and then
cool.
Out,
cool. So. You know, we're probably going to wrap up. I know you're a busy man. We actually yeah. had John in today to do a little bit of interviews for our collector's edition.
Right.
We have additional content to kind of go over the stuff. One of the things I kind of want to get out of you is, like, is there any secrets that only you know about from the early
about
MK
the
games
MK universe,
that,
yeah.
that nobody else kind of knows that you've kind of held up until this
shatter
point?
Shatter some little book kid's dreams. It's like, what? No way.
No. Yeah. Right. No, you know, I can't think of anything that's in the game that never came out. I think that pretty much everybody's found everything that's in there, so I wish I had some little nugget of information that I could share with everybody.
How about a story about back in the day, how yeah. things used to be, you know, the development process. One crazy night we were stuck here doing blah,
right.
blah, blah.
Well, there were a lot of crazy nights. it's, you know, it's a tough process. I mean, when we worked on the first and the second and the third games, we put in a lot of hours, as I'm sure the guys are, you know, are doing today, and it's a difficult process. I think, you know, one of my fondest memories was we were testing the first Mortal Kombat game, and this is 1991, I guess it would have been, at some point. And the Chicago Bulls were playing the Lakers, and I was at my parents' house, and I was watching the game with my dad, and I had to get to an arcade to check the earnings for the week. And it must have been a Sunday night. I'm not sure, but. But anyway, but it was my job to go to this particular arcade. It was on the north side on Clark and maybe Broadway or something. I think
Times Square,
yeah.
Yeah,
exactly right. So, and I lived on the near west side, or actually kind of closer to the south side. And so we watched the game, and as soon as it was over, I knew that madness would ensue. You know, the Bulls had just won the championship or whatever. So I had to jump in my car and speed down to the arcade before...
My gosh.
You know,
the crowd came out.
Yeah, the crowd came out. Yeah, exactly. And I wound up getting stuck at the arcade until like 2 or 3 in the morning because the crowd
were
out.
Dispersed.
Yeah, they were trying to tip a bus right outside of the arcade and stuff. And but that was a lot of fun, actually. That was the good thing was that when I went to check the earnings, mm-hmm. I think that must have been one of the first that we had, because I remember being blown away
how much it was there.
About how much that it had earned, right. And knowing that, wow, we've really got something. special here. But cool. that was a good.
So Bulls win.
Bulls win.
Good take on the game.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a good night all around.
It was a good night, except for the fact that I was trapped in this, you know, dingy arcade.
How about nowadays? You ever like walk by an arcade and kind of see a cabinet and go, "Oh my God, does it kind of like still hit you?" Or is
you know, the only Mortal Kombat cabinets I see are the ones in my basement. But, yeah, you know, I kind of miss those days. It's kind of sad in a way. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that industry was fun. I think when I became involved, it was almost the revival of the arcade mm-hmm. market. And, you know, it was fun working here at the time. There were a lot of really talented people here at the time. You know, when you look back, I think Eugene Jarvis, yeah. who totally. Created Defender, he was, I think, the head of the department at the time. And when I started working here back then, I didn't really realize kind of who these guys were and kind of looking back on it.
It was kind of like, oh, this is my boss. And
yeah, exactly.
Now you look
right,
back
yeah.
like, oh, my God.
Well, no, I knew that he created Defender, and it was almost like a pinch-me moment when right. I got the job at Midway back at the time. But but it was fun. It was a good time working here, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a small industry back then.
Yeah, it was kind of tiny.
It's not like what it is. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time out of your schedule and coming by, man. Hopefully we'll be able to bring you in on another one pretty soon, and hopefully we'll be seeing you around these parts a little bit more in the future.
All right, thank you.
All right, take it easy.
Thanks, John. Wow, that was pretty cool, man.
I know. This is probably the longest podcast ever, but I guess it's really cool. I mean, we're upping it up, everyone. I don't know how we're going to top this week to have a senior game designer and one of the creators on the show. I don't know who's left it there.
Well, there's one person. That's a question if we can
get
him in here. I think everyone knows who we're talking about.
Yeah, we'll about
maybe
that.
Maybe one day.
Yeah,
maybe.
About that.
We still have a few more Johns to go through anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we don't really have that much time left, so let's just kind of go through. Everybody's favorite part of the show is when we talk about what we had for breakfast. So what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Well, you know, I've been eating really poorly lately. We're talking like Pop-Tarts.
Twisty! Dude, I had Pop-Tarts this morning, too.
Get out
of
here.
It was crazy. That's all I've been eating now. So I had Pop-Tarts for lunch and breakfast, and I'm probably going to have some for dinner, too. Which are your favorite Pop-Tarts?
Actually, I'm not a big fan of the chocolate or anything, but I like the strawberry one.
Yeah,
for some
strawberry
reason.
With the frosting.
Okay. Oh, definitely. You have to have the frosting. Otherwise,
cool.
It's kind of dry. You know?
Yeah, it sucks. All right. Obviously, nobody cares about what we had for breakfast, but let's go to the questions that everybody really does care about right now. Let's see. I printed out a whole bunch of them. Thanks again, Predator151. You're turning into the... We should probably hire you at some point, man. That guy is like going through...
I know. He's going through. He's actually filtering, collecting a lot of good questions for us.
Yeah,
man.
I know. It's awesome. He had this really good question that I had in there. We'll see if we can get to that one. There's a couple of them that I definitely think that we need to address right away. Number one being... who's voicing the Mortal Kombat characters, and are there any samples yet that we can kind of hear? We'll have to throw it over to our man Jeff, our sound engineer, right now. But maybe he can throw in a couple of our voices that we have in there.
I can never figure you out. One minute you're a hero, the next you're a criminal.
I'm a complicated woman.
But we've actually hired like professional guys, right, to come in and do.
This is actually, I think, one of the few times we've actually gone out and really. Found actors, you know, actors. It's not just like, hey, Hector, what are you doing right now? I need you to come over and do the voice of, you know,
Ed is still doing Scorpion in the game, but that's a given. Totally. Another question that somebody had was that, is there going to be an online level ranking system?
I mean, like a leaderboard?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, that's the way I read the question. What do you think about that?
We're going to have a leaderboard. There's still some details to be worked out for online stuff, but yeah, we're going to definitely keep tracking, you know, like wins, losses, and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have it kind of how Xbox
ranked
and
matches.
PSN have ranked matches and player matches. So obviously, if you beat somebody of a higher rank from you, then your true skill ranking or whatever that's called, like, kind of moves up and stuff like that. So we're definitely going to have that. A question that kind of came up, but I guess John answered it a little bit earlier, is how different is every character going to play, not counting their special moves? I mean, every character obviously is going to play different. Every character has their individual fighting style, individual move set. Like, I mean, it really feels different. I've been playing it a whole bunch lately.
Well, I mean, with each build we get, those moves are starting to be put in for each of the characters, so you start finding yourself playing certain characters more because you kind of like their style. So, I mean, that, at least I do. You know.
Yeah. All right, let's try to do a couple more questions. Wow, this one's a load. Okay, I'll wait until that one. Here's a good one. Is there going to be bios? Actually, that's interesting. We just got off the phone with DC and Warner Brothers. Our weekly discussion with them, and the concept of bios actually came up. And what did we decide on that?
I think the answer was Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna have bios for both the Mortal Kombat characters and the DC characters. Mm-hmm. I don't expect it to be a little, you know. I don't expect there to be too much information. I pretty much think that, you know, we know where Superman came from and that kind of stuff. But the Mortal Kombat stuff might be interesting to kind of figure out.
Kind of give you some insights to the characters. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a nugget of information that people didn't know about before.
Maybe. I don't know. Don't promise the people anything. You know how that is. They'll hold it against you.
Yeah, okay. I'll learn from your mistakes. I'm kidding.
No, it's totally not even my mistake. Actually, you know, funny thing. Out in Leipzig, I met up with the MK Universe guys out there, and MK Universe is like this, you know, obviously another MK fan site, and you know, they were interviewing Ed, and they actually brought like a video player of them giving Sean Himrick 2 years ago at Leipzig a T-shirt to give to Ed, and they're like, "Hey, will you give this?" Yeah, and then so on the during the interview, they actually ask Ed, they're like, "Hey, did you get there with the T-shirt?" And he's like, "I don't think so," and then they like showed the video. Yeah, so it's like with these guys, you can't just say anything flippant. Like with any of the people, they're going to come back and they're going to be like, Han said there's going to be bios and with secret information. So
I said maybe.
That's true. No, okay, we'll say maybe about everything. Here's a good one, and I'm sure we're going to go off on this one, but what's the hardest part of making this game?
Oh my God. there's so many things to talk about. I don't even know where to start.
Well,
the long hours.
Not being around your friends and your family. You know, seeing the guys on the team that have friends and family.
Eating takeout food day after day.
You know, starting work at 7 a.m. and not leaving until, you know, two or three
if you're lucky
in the morning. If it's a lucky night. You know, flying halfway across the world. I mean, video game development is a hard business, guys. Like it's not
as glamorous or as fun. I mean, there are moments where it's totally cool and you have great memories, but
like signing autographs in Germany was kind of cool. Like I did get a kick out of that of people running up and asking me to sign like their shirts
You're a rock star. No one comes up to me. Of course, you know, I try to hide from everybody. So,
You know, that part is cool. But the hardest part, I think, is reaching the quality bar that we've set for ourselves. I mean, we obviously want to put out the best, you know, product possible, and the amount of work that it takes to reach that kind of quality bar is very difficult.
And yeah, and especially, you know, especially now that we've been doing the, you know, these MCAS, is, you know, the feedback we're getting from all your listeners, you know, and you know, that kind of raises the bar of expectations for us that we're trying to shoot. Because before, I think it was a little bit more insular for us, that, you know, we kind of were like, well, what do you think people would want? What do you think would be cool? Now we kind of have a little bit more feedback, so it's like, wow, we really need to, you know, step up our game, you know.
Yeah, totally. I think that's it, man. I think we gave everybody a lot of content.
I'm sure there's still people who say, well, they didn't say anything. We could levels?
Oh, my God. Levels. That's right.
There's
that's
some
true.
People been asking about
we,
that.
We could give away that. You know, right now we've announced just a few levels.
Everyone's obviously seen The Graveyard.
Yeah,
everyone's
Graveyard's
seen
been
Hell.
Everyone's seen Metropolis.
Batcave
was in. Batcave was actually in the Leipzig build, so people were able to do that. A couple other levels that we'll have that we can actually talk about right now. And go ahead. You can throw one out and I'll put it out there.
Owen Sennett.
Owen Sennett is actually a really cool background that we have. Yeah. Another background we have is Gotham City, which is actually kind of two arenas built in one. It's the Gotham City rooftops as well as the Gotham City, like,
down the
street
streets,
level, you know, with the Batmobiles there. And, you know,
overturned police car.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very reminiscent of the Dark Knight movie, like, you know, that scene where they're, like, fighting in the street and stuff like that. Like, you actually kind of feel that you're kind of in the we have a space station level that's actually really, really cool that has a really has a huge presence in our story mode right now. So a lot of the
and
things
then, Special Forces
is another arena that we have, and we have a couple surprise arenas that we can't talk about just yet,
well, because they're related to the story, which we're not quite ready to talk about. So.
But you know what? The cool thing about it is that there's a really, really cool feature about a couple of our arenas right now that we're really looking forward to kind of showing you guys, and we'll do a proper presentation about that. But there's definitely a couple of arenas that when you see them, you're going to be like, oh my God, that's so awesome. That's pretty much it for me, man. I'm tired, and we still have
a long night ahead of us.
It's early in the evening. It's about 5 o'clock Central Time,
and we'll be here for the next eight hours, at least.
Totally. So everybody, come check out worldscollide.com. You know, come listen to the MCAST on worldscollide.com. I know a lot of people have been downloading them and hosting them on their own sites. You're not really helping us out too much when you do that, because you know, a lot of the numbers that we calculate are based on downloads
tracking
and streams from our thing. So a lot of you websites that are kind of hosting them on your own site, you're almost you know, giving reason for them to discontinue our thing and not being as successful as we want it to be. So we might want to just keep everybody to kind of coming to Worlds Collide. Uh-huh. And like we said before, a lot of information is going to come out through worldscollide.com, so make sure you bookmark and visit it all the time.
Yep.
Check out the forums. You know, I'm on there. Mm-hmm. Hans, you're never on the forums, man. And,
no, I'm on the forums in the sense I read them. I'm not going to go jump on posts or anything.
I know. You open yourself up to a lot. Yeah. I mean, you can't make anybody happy on them. So,
But hey, I'm glad for all the feedback. You know, I'm reading all the stuff that people are saying, and you know, definitely keep giving us feedback. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. You know, we won't get our feelings won't be hurt.
No,
by
I mean
much.
As you guys heard from Edwards earlier, I mean, you know, the designers read the stuff. Yeah. I mean, if you guys actually have valid things that you want to kind of bring out there, we're going to read it and we're going to take that into consideration. So, you know, the MK universe here is encompassing of everybody. It's not just the people that work on the team. It's the fans, too. Like, you guys make us who we are. So don't be afraid to share your opinions with us. And check out worldscollide.com. Check out MK versus DCU on Facebook. We're almost at 2,000 fans. We're almost there.
So tell your friends.
Tell your friends. tell your friends to pre-order that collector's edition, too, and get some of that comic book art from John Tobias. Yeah. And we'll talk to you guys hopefully next week. All right?
Take care, man.
All right, later.
Excellent.